This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
From the Dole Cubes.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Redline is broadcast from the stolen, unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all. And yes, welcome to tonight's Breadline show. And yes, that was our excitable new intro, which you may have heard before if you're a regular listener. So tonight we've got an interesting show coming up. We've got some hints about getting on to the disability support pension, and we're going to be talking fairly soon to Pip, who lives in the Armidale area. They've just had an Australian Unemployed Workers Union meeting there specifically to talk about work for the Dole and the compulsory voluntary work, which we unfortunately know only too well, comes with mutual obligations, comes in a little bit of a sort of package, unfortunately. So the Australian Unemployed Workers Union stands for the rights of unemployed people, and as well as trying to organise around the country to sort of so people can set up groups for mutual support. We also run an advocacy line. So it's really very easy to find the advocacy line online these days. But I'll just let you know that it operates from 10 till 2 on Monday to Friday. And the phone numbers are 1-800-289-848 or 0398-11-7064. But if you did happen to miss that, you can just easily Google, or you can easily look up. Sorry for giving a little trade name there, but you can easily look up the just AUWU advocacy, and you'll find that phone line. So please spread the word to friends and relations, people in your local groups, whatever you're doing, because unfortunately, a lot of people are fighting the poverty machine, and it really shouldn't be running the way it is. I think it should be running completely unrestricted, so people can get the support they need to survive in the old capitalist world, where unfortunately we need money in a major way. So, yeah, I'll be putting on some music pretty soon, and then I'll be getting Pip on the line. But I've got time to talk a little bit about a few free food things that are happening around Melbourne. Although we are podcast, this show is podcast, I'm guessing that most people listening tonight will be listening in Melbourne. So there's a little bit, as a monthly free lunch happening, I've mentioned it before on the show, at the Kathleen Symes Library. So they're having that on at 1 o'clock. You're supposed to turn up at 12:45, and the next date for that is the 15th of August. So yeah, that's Kathleen Symes Library in Carlton, so central city really. If you happen to be around that area, then of course there's our favourites, Food Not Bombs. They're running. I'm not 100% sure. There's definitely a meal happening on Wednesdays, and that's at the shop Bow Knock at 387 Victoria Street, Brunswick. Now, a quick search online said there may be a meal also on Tuesday, but Food Not Bombs is an amazing setup where you can turn up at 5 and help cook the food, or you can turn up at 7 if you just really want to have a good feed of vegan food, organic usually, collected and you know, donated often by the traders, or it used to be this, I'm assuming it's still the same, donated by the fruit and veg people at Victoria Market. So yeah, some good chances there for a bit of free food to keep you going in the wintry days of August this year. So yeah, I'll now put on some nice music for you to listen to. And it will be, first of all, a reminder about how if you're having legal trouble with Centrelink, luckily we have some legal support people. We usually play this as a reminder, and it's also a good thing to remind your friends and anyone else who might be having Centrelink hassles. So here it is. And following that, I'll be putting on the Bread and Roses Trade Union Choir, because a bit of music is always good for the heart. Okay, here we go.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
As we come marching, marching in the beauty of the day, amid darkened kitchens, a thousand billows gray, a touch with all the radiance that a saddened sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses.
As we come marching, marching, we battle to fall men, for they are women's children, and we mother them again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Our star as well as bodies, give us bread, but give us roses.
As we come marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing, their ancient cry for bread. Small art and love and beauty, their trudging spirits knew. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. We bring the greater days, the rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler, tend and toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses.
And yeah, that was the Trade Union Choir with Bread and Roses, and that was quite beautiful, really. And so you're listening to Breadline, for the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I'm Jessica, and I'm about to talk to Pip from Armidale on the line. Hi, Pip, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Hi. So I introduced at the top of the show, but basically you organised a meeting face-to-face and online in Armidale this last week.
So
you were dealing with a lot of the things that we deal with often on the advocacy line and that we talk about at length when we have other people coming in, such as people from the Anti-Poverty Centre. And it's really about the most sort of exhausting and punitive aspects of the mutual obligation system. And it's really where they take not just they're putting you under stress and making you search for masses of jobs that might not even exist in your area, but also they expect you to go on work for the dole and do compulsory volunteering. So what were some of the things raised at your meeting?
We started off talking about the inception of the program in 1997 under John Howard, and how it just started off initially targeting younger people, and then it's since broadened in scope. It's now a central part of meeting the mutual obligations, as you mentioned. We talked about what was said at the time of the inception. It was said that unpaid work would or could displace paid employment and create a pool of low-cost labour, and that this would put pressure downwards on wages and conditions. And we spoke about the overrepresentation of Indigenous people and disabled people, which, and you can see this data on the Australian government website. You could say that this is a predictable outcome of the way that the welfare system is structured. This is just what happens when you create a system designed to punish.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. We always, at the beginning of the show, talk about how the unfairness of the system disproportionately affects First Nations people. So that's interesting. So that's actually, So if someone's doing their own research, they can find that online then.
And mutual obligations and work for the dole, that is, and work for the dole is being part of mutual obligations. It's a punitive instrument. And, it's not conducive to employment. And no. The structural problem would be secure employment, the jobs.
And a job at the end of your volunteer time sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. The obvious solution would be to create jobs and not rely on a pool like 4-6% of unemployed people to keep inflation under control, which is how we are currently organising the economy, and we're disciplining working class people, and it's doing a lot of harm. Another thing that was raised is women over 55 being overrepresented in volunteer work under mutual obligations, and also the question, can you call that volunteer work?
Yes. I talk about this quite a bit because of my experience in Wonthaggi, where, again, we heard on the grapevine that a woman had died while volunteering at a local op shop. And, of course, we can't definitely prove that she was there against her own will. But I know from talking to a lady who I'm going to be interviewing soon as a case study, she said being part of volunteering at the age of, say, 60, she said, it broke me. So,
really sad.
Luckily, she's survived it and she's now part of our community garden. But I'm going to talk to her in the next few weeks about just the pressure, because a lot of people have been working hard all their lives and then to have to do this compulsory volunteering just to get the measly job seeker payments, just bloody outrageous.
Yeah, it is outrageous. And we heard of another woman over 55 who was working on Saturdays and not being able to ask for time off.
Yeah.
I think that was mentioned. And I have spoken to people on the hotline, like older women, and they have, that was my inspiration to hold the event in the first place, speaking to a number of women over 55 who were in this sort of position.
Yeah, and I sort of wonder about the guys, because there's plenty of men who are in that situation. Where do they get put? Because predominantly it's, you know, the op shops. And I've mentioned on Breadline before about the counting of jigsaw puzzle pieces, which a woman was expected to do. But, yeah, I wonder where they're putting, what pressure they're putting on the older men, because it affects everyone until you're the pension age of 67.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there could be some also just structural sexism happening.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that, one of the many research projects. If there's anyone listening out there who wants to do a research project, that's the kind of thing we need to be looking at. Yeah. And how about what other things were raised at your meeting in Armidale?
Just horror stories of work for the dole and volunteer work where people were not trained, not supervised, not given safety equipment, health and safety laws not adhered to, and it looks like no documentation if incidents occurred.
Right, yeah. And the actually sexual harassment in Work for the Dole placements has also been brought up in the past. So, yeah, that's another aspect.
It's that
thing that if you're in a powerless position, you've just been told, go there, turn up. Oh, we had that case that was brought up where someone got picked up and taken to the local prison at the end of their Work for the Dole placement because they assumed because the other people on the placement were going back inside that this person was part of it. Luckily they managed to not get put in the prison. But yeah, it's that thing, you're expendable, you're not doing anything that's going to train you for a job, but you're not doing anything that has value, well, or is seen as having value. Yeah, real jobs. I mean, that's the fantasy land people are in of, oh, work for the dole, gets people out, you know, oh, they're learning a skill. Well, we've yet to see many examples of that.
Yeah.
And how about, are you planning to sort of keep in touch with the people who met up in Armidale last week?
Yeah, we will be keeping in touch, and people in person and online, and hoping to build the campaign further and do some more. We've got some plans to do some more things in the future.
Yeah, great. Really good. Another thing I remember that got brought up was whether you're expected to look for jobs while you're part of a Work for the Dole placement. And I sort of quickly looked it up, and I looked it up just now to make sure it was clear in my mind. So basically they recommend online that you, of course, you still may be required to look for jobs, even if that's an exhausting placement you're on. But they just recommend to you, oh, get your job applications or your possible interviews around your Work for the Dole.
You know, when you're doing up to 50 hours a fortnight.
Yeah, that's right.
Of work, and you might have caring duties on top of that as well.
That's right. And we did have the case of someone, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on Breadline, where he was actually on at work. He had a casual job, but the job centre was still harassing him and trying to get him on to work for the Dole. Yeah, so it was hardly helping his you know, peace of mind while working to have that extra pressure. And as we know, the job centres put a lot of pressure on people.
Yeah.
Because they're incentivized to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And online we had someone dropping in from Gurram Bilbara, Townsville, and that was also good. We're hoping to sort of stay in touch with them and get something happening up there. As listeners might know, up in that area, there's a very active group, the Anarchists Against Poverty in North Queensland, who go out handing out food, and they run these free stores up there where everything's free. It's like a shop, but everything's free. And those are donations that they've got, sort of, yeah, food and other useful goods. I've been to one and, yeah, it was really great. I ended up doing face painting, which is fun. But, yeah, so hopefully we'll be hearing more about, yeah, how people are fighting back and how people are sort of surviving the system. And, do you anything else you'd like to add?
Just drive home the point that the programs are not providing the outcomes that they say they are, providing secure jobs, and that the members of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I think you made this point as well, are just the Work for the Dole program gets in the way of, like, education,
yeah,
other activities that would improve employment prospects,
yeah,
and it's just tying them up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they, and sometimes people might talk about data of people leaving employment benefit, but it's not showing that these people are finding long-term work. They're people receiving welfare benefits is not the the structural problem here. We don't really need to be measuring people leaving unemployment benefit temporarily. We need to be looking at the actual employment outcomes. It's often the case that people are having a really negative time as a participant of mutual obligations, and they're feeling desperate, and then they're taking on jobs because they're experiencing reduced bargaining power, and they're accepting really poor working conditions,
yeah,
and that low paid work. And then for people who can't find work, they are getting locked into cycles of poverty. And so the data doesn't really support that this is helping employment outcomes. But we're giving billions of dollars to the private sector just to punish poor people. We could put that money into welfare and to creating jobs.
Yeah, yeah. As with jobs that people might actually like doing, like sort of revegetating areas and all that kind of thing. Yeah, the other thing, of course, we'll have to talk about it on the next show almost, but is the things that you can do if you're being threatened by basically they call it an activation point. It's a point where they are going to actually start harassing you and telling you you've got to do work for the Dole. So you can, for example, look for your own course and therefore avoid going on their chosen Work for the Dole project, and then also look for your own voluntary work. But you need to be quite on your front foot about it, because they're not going to like it. They just want to place you somewhere and then get the payouts. Hopefully some people listening to the show tonight might be able to give us some examples of, you know, that and also help people get the kind of background information on their rights.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing you should look at presenting. We were able to do a bit of that at the event.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's, I suppose, what we stand for is, yeah, people knowing what their rights are so they can actually bargain. And we had a great example on the advocacy line week before last where someone from the union got on the phone, so they were able to sort of be an advocate right on the spot while someone was having an interview with a job service provider. So, yeah, right, really good work. Yeah. Well, I'd better get ready for the next show, which is only have 30 minutes. But thanks so much for coming on, Pip.
Okay.
And yeah, and we'll hear hopefully more about what's happening up your way, up in Armidale, Northern New South Wales. And yeah, and you can come on the show again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Pip.
Bye.
Bye. And, yeah, I've just been talking to Pip, who is in Northern New South Wales. And so that I'll go into a quick announcement.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
And, yeah, so... we are about to end Breadline, which is the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We just had a good interview there. Took up most of the time. That's good. And stay listening for the Eritrean Voices show. And I'm going to go out with a song called Daughter by Loudon Wainwright. So you'll hear from us next week, 6 o'clock. Bye.
She says she wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows. Everything I say, she takes to heart. Everything she takes apart. Every time she fell. And that's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time. She strikes somebody blind. Every thing she thinks blows her tiny mind. That's my daughter in the water. Who'd have ever thought her? Who'd have ever thought? That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought. Yeah, I lost. time.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.